Good morning.
Good morning.
Welcome into God's house. Welcome into Long Meadow Church of the Brethren. And welcome to you on the other side of the video camera. I spent a few days in the hospital this past week due to a situation that caused me to be there, obviously. And it has left me somewhat weak. And when Linda and I were discussing it, Linda said to me, "I have been given a message. And I am a man, and sometimes I can be a little hard-headed, just a little bit hard-headed, not very often." All right, all the time, I got it. And I got to thinking, because I felt, well, I'm strong enough, I can lean up here. But when God gives someone a message, there's a reason. And so because I am not the most energetic coming out of the hospital, Linda's going to bring the message. And I would offer this thought to Linda. You know, Linda, there was a church that got a brand new pastor. And the pastor was talking to the deacons. And the pastor said, I preach on Sunday morning. How long can I preach for?" And the deacon said, "You can preach as long as you want to." And the young pastor got excited. He goes, "Really?" And the deacon said, "Yep, we leave at 12.
Good morning.
Good morning.
It is a privilege to be up here. And when I get to do this, I really feel a heavy responsibility because speaking God's word. And I just pray that he would, you know, work through the message. He gave it to me. I had a confirmation a couple times this week. This morning, coming to church, the pastor over at the Baptist church here in Paramount, I always listen to him on the way to church. And he was talking about what I was going to talk about. And I thought, wow, you know, he's even a Baptist. And we all serve the same God. So the Spirit of God works among us. Let us have a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, I do thank you for the privilege to be here this morning. I thank you for the message you gave. I pray that you would use me to deliver it in a good way. I thank you that Paul has gotten better and is able to be with us, and we pray for his continued strength and that he gets back to his normal. And we just thank you for all the blessings that you've brought to us this week, and thank you for each one who's here today. In Jesus' name, please bless the sermon and bless the word in Jesus' name. Amen. So, I always, you know, and many of you do too, use the upper room for a devotional each day. And all of a sudden, the scripture the other, I don't remember the date. I have the thing there, but anyway, I don't know what the date was. Talked about putting on the whole armor of God. And the more I read that, I thought, wow, we all need to do that. We need this sermon. We need the word of God to encourage our hearts that we have a God who cares about everything. And we're going to talk about how each part of that armor has a special purpose. And we just need to tap into it and in our spirit, because we do not wrestle, and I'll just read the scripture. You know the scripture that I'm going to read about the whole armor of God, that we don't wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers, things that we can't see. It's hard to fight a battle with someone you can't see, but God sees them. So the scripture is Ephesians 6, starts with 10 and ends at 20. And I'm going to read from the King James just because I'm an old fuddy-duddy. And I like the King. I just like some of the wording there. So anyway, or no, I'm telling you a lie. I was going to, because I have the Pew Bible. So if you're reading the Pew Bible, it'll be the same. "Finally, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Therefore, put on the full armor of God, so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground. And after you have done everything, to stand. Stand firm then, with the belt of truth buckled around your waist, with the breastplate of righteousness in place, with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. In addition to all this, take up the shield of faith, with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, and pray that the Spirit on all occasions and with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the saints. Pray also for me, and this is, of course, is Paul talking, whenever I open my mouth, words may be given me so that I will fearlessly make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains. Pray that I may declare it fearlessly, as I should. And Paul, at this time, and many of you probably know this, was in prison when he wrote this, and was able to still worship God and write beautiful scripture and how he used Paul so greatly. But, you know, ministers, and like with myself, I keep praying, God, fill my mouth. And God said, you know, if you open your mouth and are obedient, he would fill your mouth. And that the word of God would not return unto him void. So we know that when the word of God is used, and this is our strength, and we'll talk about how it is our weapon. So I just looked up, you know what it is, but it says the meaning, the whole armor of God, represents the defense we must take in our spiritual lives. The battle is with Satan, who seeks to destroy us. And, you know, he uses so many things, talking about, you know, in the King James, it does say the wiles of the devil, meaning his plan, his schemes. Because like the old story goes, you know, devil doesn't come to you dressed in a red suit with a pitchfork in his hand and says, I'm the devil, you know, I want you to do this. He's very, very tricky. He's very sneaky, and he knows our weaknesses and where he can hit us and get to us. So the beginning of the armor, which there are like six main parts. The first part, we're going to start, we'll end up with the helmet at the end, because it's, to me, really the most important. But the first part is the belt of truth. The belt of truth is the foundation of the armor. It holds the sword and it holds the breastplate. It holds all the pieces together. My friend Jenny, that comes here to church, she was our secretary at school for many years. And we used to say, a lady on our team used to say, oh, she's the glue for our school. So, you know, the belt is like the glue for the armor. It holds it together. And if we didn't have something to hold it together, it wouldn't be useful, you know. And then the breastplate of righteousness, the breastplate guarded the heart. So the source of the soldier's life, of course, physically, is the heart. And, you know, I've heard people talk about people in battle have had a little Bible in their pocket, and it's over their heart, and when somebody would shoot, it would save their lives. For people who have had their lives physically saved by that Bible being over the heart. So, in the righteousness from God protects our spiritual life. So that's where we get the breastplate, to protect the heart, which represents the righteousness that comes from God. We are not righteous in ourselves. We get that from Christ. our righteousness is as filthy rags because we're nothing. And it all comes down to the fact, and this thought keeps coming to me, we're really nothing without Christ. You know, we can't really do things. People say, oh, but this person did this and did this. Well, you know, the only things that are going to be worth anything when we die is going to be the things that we've, the treasures we've laid up in heaven. And because we're going to live spiritually forever, but not physically. So we need to be in tune with God and have that spirit dwelling within us and letting him guide us through this life here as it's the preparation for the future, for our afterlife. And then the next one is the shoes, which it says the shoes of the gospel of peace. It says they, the feet are protected by the gospel of peace, soldiers heavy armored sandals that gave traction, and this is in the physical, and gave security. Now you think about that when you think about traction, keep you from slipping. You don't want to slip physically or spiritually. You want to stay on track. So it helps you to stay there. And it says, in the heat of the battle, our peace through Jesus Christ gives us security when Satan accuses us. And when you know, he's very sly. You know, we sing this little song, the devil is a sly old fox. If I could catch him, I'd put him in a box. Did you ever hear that song? Anyway, then you would lock the door and throw away the key for all the tricks he's played on me. And don't think you can get away from those tricks. He comes after the very elect. And he knows the weaknesses. You've heard of great people, even great Christians that have fallen because they gave in. They didn't keep that shield. They didn't keep that armor up to date. And we need to do that every day. And we need to live that we believe that God can protect us. We live in a world today that is kind of scary. And yes, I lock my doors at night. I'm a little fearful to go out at night. Lots of evil happens in the dark. I have to laugh. A lot of evil happens in the dark because I guess they think God can't see them. I don't know. They don't know our God, do they? Because he sees them, whatever. But we need to be ready when that devil comes and we start thinking, oh, yeah, that's okay. I can do that. That's not going to hurt my Christianity. And then you do that and then something else happens and you just get farther and farther away. And through the shoes of preaching, there's a song we sing about the feet. Blessed are the feet. How, what is it? I can't remember the word I want to say. But anyway, lovely. How lovely are the feet of them who preach the gospel. Because the gospel is the gospel of peace. And we need to be prepared to share that gospel. The next thing is the shield of faith. And it says the soldier's leather-covered shield could be soaked in water to extinguish the flaming arrows of the enemy. That faith in God's promises deflects and extinguishes the lies of Satan. You know, he can tell you you're no good, that God's displeased with you, that God doesn't love you. But we have a book here, and I call it, I was going to do a Valentine story, but since Hunter, I will do one next week. But, you know, this is our love letter from God. And he says, he loves us no matter what. And you have to wonder, like David prayed to him and said, you know, what am I that you would be mindful of me? Who am I? We come from nothing. And without him, we are nothing. So all the things that we do in our life that we do unto God in his name is what's going to last and what's going to be eternal. And all of the wonderful things that people do here on this earth, I've heard a lot of people say, well, you know, that person's really a nice person. They really are kind. They really do a lot of good work. And they do it because of the person they are, not and they don't give credit to God. And so, you know, there are good people, but good people don't go to heaven. Saved people go to heaven, you know. So we remember that as we go through this life, to live in that manner and not let the devil discourage us, because he's really good at it. The helmet of salvation, which is one that I think is at the top, almost it's the last one, but not quite. But the helmet of salvation, the helmet that protects our brain, the helmet physically protects the head. You wear a helmet at the Super Bowl tonight, they're all going to have helmets on. When you go even to little kids, they tell them to wear a helmet when they ride a bicycle, right? When you go to baseball games, you have helmets to protect your head. Why is your head so important? Because it governs the rest of your body. So God wants to protect us, and what I think is beautiful, that we are protected by the helmet of salvation, which is the only protection we have from Satan. So we are to keep that in mind when we're thinking about the battle that we go through. And people say, well, I'm not in a battle. But, you know, if you're a Christian, I think you see that you do have battles. I think if you're honest and you look at it, I think you'd have to admit there are battles. What should I do? Should I go here? Should I go there? And God says to be prayerful about all that stuff. And we'll talk about that in a minute. So the rest that I have here about the helmet, it says that since this is the primary or main battlefield, which is in your mind, of the spiritual warfare, assurance of salvation defeats the doubts that Satan uses against the spirit of death. So we don't have to fear death, physical death, and we can keep our spiritual life going by our spirit being in tune with his. And that's when they say we put on that helmet, and in the little commentary that I read, it said you're actually putting on Christ. And you know how people wear these little bracelets and says WWJD, you know, what would Jesus do? Well, what would he do? We need to think about that. Maybe not that we think about it even in that way, but we are ambassadors of Christ. Our life, people look at us, don't make a mistake, because, and they say they're a Christian, you know. You can be, the rescue mission used to have a big sign, a billboard, down there it said about not being perfect, but being forgiven. I don't know if it's still down there or not. But we're not perfect. We're not perfect. We live in an evil world. There's a lot of good in the world, but there's a lot of evil. And we need to be aware of how we can be deceived. The Bible says that even in the last days, that even the very elect would be deceived. So if people who have served God for years and years and years can be deceived, any of us could be deceived. Because the devil is a sly old fox. And I would like to catch him and put him in a box. But you know, in a way we do that with the word of God, and that's the next thing. The sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. This just touches my heart to know that we have all of the weapons we need right here in this book. We have the love of God, we have his word, his message to us, the stories of what he's done, and the love that he shows to us unconditionally. And like that little, I saw a little sign, you know, people put little things outside their church, and it said, if you feel far away from God, he hasn't moved. And that's the truth, because we draw ourselves away. We get caught up in things. And we all do that. I know sometimes I can spend hours, there are situations that come your way, and you think, oh my golly, I spent all that time trying to resolve this and trying to resolve that. And then you realize, but through God, He will work it out. And we have to trust that He will work it out. And it's the only part of this armor that is offensive is the sword. It says, only offensive weapon for the soldier was the sword. For the Christian, it is the word of God. Remember when Satan came to tempt Jesus and he used the word of God, because Jesus knew the word. He was God. He was the word of God. And for the devil to even try to trick Jesus, that's just, you think, oh my goodness, that's just so foolish. But he knew parts. He knew parts. But we need to know the truth, and we need to keep all of those things in our mind when we are buffeted about, they say, using that term, but that when the world gets heavy and when we're sad and when we're down about whatever in our life, we lose loved ones, we have people who are sick, we go through a lot of trauma in our life, we just need to remember to put this shield and put this armor all over. And notice it goes from head to toe. It goes from your head down to your feet. He protects us. And I do want to tell a little story. I get to talk about my buddy David in the Old Testament. I just love the story of David, and most people do. He was so flawed, but he was a man after God's own heart. And it's hard to think the things that David did, the evil things that David did. But he always came back. He always had remorse. He always asked forgiveness. And he tried to do better. And God loved him and blessed him. And he won his battles. He was a great king. The only thing he didn't get to do, he didn't get to build the temple, because he wanted to build a new temple. And God said, no, you're a man of war. He couldn't have him build it, so Solomon had to build the temple. But he blessed David. Well, when David went up against Goliath, I guess that's the most famous story we have about David. It tickles me that all the things that Goliath went through to protect himself. And I want to read back in 1 Samuel, 17. And we start at 45, and we know that the story goes, and everybody knows the story, but it's a good one, how that Goliath came and was, he was the leader of the Philistines, and they were fighting with Israel, and he challenged them. And they said, if you can send somebody out here to fight me, that he would take them on, and he would kill them and feed them to the birds and all this stuff. So let me read that section of scripture. David said to the Philistine, you come against me with sword and spear and javelin, but I come against you in the name of the Lord Almighty, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defied. This day the Lord will hand you over to me, and I will strike you down and cut off your head. Today I will give the carcasses of the Philistine army to the birds of the air and the beasts of the earth. And the whole world will know that there is a God in Israel. All those gathered here will know that it is not by sword or spear that the Lord saves, for the battle is the Lord's, and he will give all of you into our hands. God doesn't need a physical sword. He doesn't need a physical spear. He doesn't need explosives to blow us up. He doesn't need anything like that. He uses his spirit. And you have to accept him to be able to understand, because he'll give you wisdom. If you apply and ask for wisdom, he'll give you wisdom to understand how the Spirit of God works. And I know that, we go through a lot of things and we think, oh my goodness, I can't fight this battle. Well, we don't have to, because he said he would go before us into battle, and he would fight our battles. So we need to look to Jesus and put on that armor. And I did make a list of some things. We did a thing with David Jeremiah in our Bible study, facing the giants, okay? And, you know, we don't have Goliath, but we have giants. And here are some that we face. Fear. How many of you have ever been fearful? I know I have been many times. And then you think, no, I've got to trust in God, which we do need to do. Loneliness. God can use the devil can use loneliness to really put you in a depression. Discouragement. You lose your job. You try to do something that you thought you could do and you can't do it. Whatever it is, if it's shoot a basketball, make a hoop, I want to say. But anyway, whatever it is that we are doing in life, we need to overcome it with our spiritual life and our belief and faith in God. Worry, and God's very specific about worry. We're not supposed to worry for anything. We're supposed to give everything to God. And guilt, and there's temptation, anger, resentment, doubt, procrastination, failure, jealousy, all of those things. And they are all present in this world, and they do work on us sometimes. So I wanted to talk about the part where they were saying about us praying, and that's the next, let me see if I can get my paper here. I'll have to go to the scripture. So he tells us to pray all the time and to come to him with everything, all of our needs. We don't just go to him sometime, and our steps are to be ordered from God or by God. And it says here, after we talk about the whole armor of God, it says, and pray in the Spirit on all occasions, with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the saints. Pray also for me, and then it says about praying that he would speak the gospel. But we're supposed to pray about everything, you know. And people say, well, that's nothing you'd pray about. And I have to be honest, when I go in a parking lot, I pray that I get a good parking space because it's hard for me to, you know, I say, dear Lord, fine. And you know, a lot of times, not every time, somebody will be pulling out. And it's a good parking place and I pull in, you know. It doesn't always work like that. But God cares about the little things in our lives. He cares about your soul. He cares about your concerns. He cares about it all. And he said, if we trust in him, if we put on that whole armor of God, he will help us to fight against all of the things that come at us. Because every day we face, I've heard a lot of people say, and I've said it myself, you get one thing under control and think everything's okay, then something else happens. And that's just life. It's just, you know, the way it is, because we're living in an imperfect world where things happen, accidents happen, people fall, people have issues. I mean, there's just a lot of stuff that happens. And so when that all comes to us, put on that armor, put on that whole armor of God that we can stand. And I often, when I read that, I think it could come to a day where we may have to stand and proclaim that we are a Christian. There are many people who have been put in prison because they stood up for the word of God. They stood up and defended Jesus Christ. So even in those times, he's with us. He will never leave us. Never. And when God says something, you can trust that that's the truth. You can't really put trust in a lot of people. And it's sad to say, you say, well, it's hard to trust people, you know, because they'll say one thing and do another. But God is always truthful. He's always faithful to his word. And so remember to keep on keeping on and keep on that armor of God. So, that being said, I would like for to have a word of prayer, and then we'll sing our final hymn. Dear Heavenly Father, we do thank you for your word. We thank you for the encouragement of your Spirit. We thank you, Lord, that you will see us through and that you will bring us to one day standing at the gate. And yes, we'll be standing at the gate to come in to be with you and abide in heaven. We pray, God, that each one here today, that if there's anybody or, you know, anywhere that doesn't know you, that they're denying themselves of a joy that passes understanding, a peace that passes understanding. Things that we don't understand, but in the spirit world, God, you can answer our prayers. And we just pray you would encourage those who are discouraged, anybody who is not a Christian, that they would see their need of a Savior. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Please stand, and I have to get my hymn on. That's not a hymn on. Can you get me? Is there a hymn or anything? Huh? Heavenly Father, for the opportunity to worship you today. We thank you for each one that's here, and we pray that, God, we would all put on the whole armor of God and be able to fight off the devil and his schemes that when he tries to destroy us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Very nice.
Did I sound nervous?
Yes.
Did I sound? I was. I don't know what came over.
No, it happens.
I know. Well, I just hope I didn't sound like I was.
No, I didn't even notice that.
Okay, good.
I enjoyed it.
Did I say anything stupid?
Very nice.
That was really good.
Oh, yes. Thank you.
It was really good. I could